While you're standing, if you'll take your copy of God's Word, John chapter 19, if you'll find your place. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us, we're delighted to have you here. Welcome to First Baptist Church. For just a moment, we want to look and think about the last words of Jesus from the cross. The last words of Jesus from the cross. John chapter 19 is an eyewitness account of John the Apostle, one of the followers of Jesus, who wrote these words as he stood there at the cross. And so we'll begin reading for the sake of time. Let's read beginning in verse number 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part for every soldier and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to decide whose it shall be." And please notice this phrase. This will be very important in our time today as we think about the death of Jesus. This was to fulfill the Scripture. And then we have the quotation, "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things." But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that would be John, the writer of this gospel, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Now, the verses that are here on your screen, we read these words. They're very important. The last words of Jesus. After this, Jesus, this is the phrase I want you to see today, church, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, to fulfill the Scripture, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Verse 34, the last words of Jesus on the cross. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So, Lord, for a few moments here, help us to understand. Help us to understand what we cannot understand on our own. The profound reality of what you were doing in those hours, Heavenly Father, to your Son, so that we might be forgiven of sin. Help us to remember, Lord, the cross. Help us to remember the real suffering, agony, and real death of Jesus, our Lord, so that we might have life. We honor Jesus. We follow you, Lord Jesus. We confess you as Messiah, Son of God, and Lord. And we commit as a people that we would do the work you've called us to do here. So we ask that today you would teach us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. May my words please you. Amen. You may be seated. So as we think about these words, we come back to verse number 28. Jesus, even in his suffering on the cross, even in the midst of this intense suffering, we know that Roman crucifixion was designed to be cruel. The cruelty of this kind of capital punishment is found in that crucifixion was about suffocation. It wasn't in the losing of a lot of blood. It wasn't in all those breaking of bones. It was suffocation, so that the criminal might truly understand the significance, the seriousness, and that all who come and witness walking along the roads would see this death, this public crucifixion. So while Jesus is there hanging on the cross, we won't look at all of the different words. There are seven different things Jesus said on the cross that were very important. But I want us to think today about the cross and these two final statements. When Jesus said, "I am thirsty," And when he said, it is finished, there are two words that become very important for us. So the cross behind me, the cross you wear on your neck, the cross that's in on our materials here at the church, a cross, when you the cross outside in front of our building, the cross says two very important things for all of us to remember. And these are the two things I want to try to remind us of today as we prepare for Easter, Resurrection Day, next week. The first word is this, that in the cross of Jesus, there is that everything that needed to be done in order for us to have eternal life, fulfillment comes through Jesus. Fulfilled is the word. We read it over and over in these words together. We read it here in verse number 28. Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished. And then he says, and then the Bible says, to fulfill the scripture. Fulfilled and finished are the two words that remind us of the finality, the completeness, the absolute necessity of the cross. Oh, look, we cannot stand and sing and praise and worship and serve Jesus without the cross. The resurrection loses its meaning and its purpose if you don't have the cross. The cross sounds like foolishness, but this is the way God made a plan and a way for us to have eternal life. It is through the death of his Son whom he sent. So Jesus, on more than one occasion, tried to remind his disciples that he was going to die. He would say to them, we're going to Jerusalem. And when we get to Jerusalem, the leaders are going to take me, and the Son of Man, as he called himself, is going to suffer and die, but on the third day be raised up. Well, the disciples couldn't quite understand all of that. But let me say again today, all of these years, these thousands of years, where the church has preached and taught, we stand again today. We stand again today at the beginning of this final week as we think about the life of Jesus, the one who came and took our place. He is the one through the cross where we find absolute fulfillment in all of God's promises about him. And the finished work of Jesus is done. Oh, it's important for all of us who are followers of Jesus to learn about how Jesus finished his work. Because we have to finish our work. Jesus finished his work. So three things I want you to see quickly. Number one, from these words, the sacrifice for sin on the cross is finished. So for many of us here today, looking around, we're very familiar with these words, but don't let the familiarity of what I'm speaking about today lose its significance on you for today. You see, Jesus became the sacrifice. Up until this time, we read in the Old Testament, beginning back in the law, in the book of Leviticus, you have to bring your sacrifice. We read in the law that because of the sin of man, there was a requirement for an innocent animal and its blood to be poured out as a sacrifice for sin. Sin, the sin of man required the death of an innocent. So all through the Old Testament, listen, church, we're 200 years or so of history in America, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, first in a temporary tabernacle and later in a permanent temple in Jerusalem. Here we see for hundreds and hundreds of years these dear people, the Jewish people, bringing their sacrifices. And what do we see when they meet the priest? Smoke and blood. Smoke and blood. Smoke and blood. Over and over and over. And once a year at Passover time. Once a year at Passover, the goats, one led into the wilderness, the scapegoat, the other, blood, the lamb's blood poured out. Here we have smoke and blood for centuries, for decades. There must be a sacrifice for sin. We often forget how powerful sin is. It separates us from God. Look, some of us here today say, I want to get closer to God. The only way you can get close to God is by coming through Jesus to meet God. So we learn, first of all, what the Bible says. When he was born, the angel said, you shall call his name Jesus, which is a Hebrew word for God saves, Yeshua, because he shall save his people from their sins. The book of Hebrews says, I put it here on the screen for you, but he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice, no longer decades, no longer any more animals, no longer any more birds, no longer any more offerings of grain, no more offerings, but one sacrifice for sin for all time, until generations are no more, for all time, he gave himself. The sacrifice for sin is finished. This is why Jesus says these powerful words. It is finished. There was fulfillment. So all of these things that were written by the prophets in the Old Testament over all these hundreds of years were pointing toward one who would come. Listen, the one they were pointing to was Jesus. So Jesus fulfilled in himself and in his work all these things that the prophets had prophesied. Now, folks, this is important. Jesus said one time to his disciples, he said, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Listen, this is important. Jesus finished every single thing God the Father chose for him to do. Nothing was left out. We read it right here in these words. The second thing I want you to see is this, that the suffering of Jesus for our sin is finished. Suffering's over. Look at these words. How pathetic they read. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scriptures, he said, I am thirsty. I am thirsty. This is the one who spoke many times to the people and would say such things as this, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his insides will flow rivers of living water. You'll come to life, Jesus said, if you come to me. If you come to me, the one who offered others thirst. At the end, while he's giving himself as the final sacrifice for sin, he says, I thirst. And then we read these unbelievable words, a jar full of sour wine vinegar was standing there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on the branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Yesterday when you were out doing all your yard work, by the way, are you getting ready for all your yard work? You getting fired up about it? You getting ready? Everything out there is growing. You're going to be mowing. It's going to start. When you were out doing all of your yard work yesterday, when you stopped and you were tired, did you go get you a big old cold jar full of vinegar to drink? Of course you didn't. You know what the world offers for satisfaction of thirst? You listen to me. Vinegar. That's what the world offers. Jesus said, come to me, and I will satisfy what nothing else will satisfy. But the world says, just here, take this vinegar. The Roman soldier, you know, out of ridicule, out of mockery. There's no mercy here. Out of ridicule and mockery here. A sponge full, soaked with sour vinegar. Why, people tell me you can drink vinegar and it does something to your joints. Well, I'm not drinking that stuff. I'm not drinking mother vinegar. What is mother vinegar anyway? Vinegar, not water. Vinegar. I thirst. Here, Jesus, why don't you take some of this vinegar? You see, some of us here today, we're still trying to find a way to sacrifice to make ourselves right with God. I said earlier, Jesus said, it is finished. No more sacrifice. You can't listen. There's nothing you can do to gain favor with God. A fellow told me right here in the United States of America, right here in Dixon, Tennessee, right here down here in the South where we preach the Bible, go to church. A man told me just the other day, I was talking to him about knowing Jesus. He said, look, preacher, I appreciate you telling me all about Jesus. He said, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kind of do the best I can, do some things for others, and just hope that'll be enough. Well, you know what, friend? It's never enough. It's never enough when you try to sacrifice and work your way into favor with God. Jesus said, it is finished. He fulfilled completely all the requirements as the innocent one for the sinful one. So we read in Isaiah 53:5, I put it here, it's the Old Testament, a prophecy. He was pierced. Who was the he? It was Jesus. He was the one fulfilling this as he died on the cross. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Jesus, the one who can satisfy our thirst, was thirsty. Never forget, my Christian friend, the thirst of Jesus. Never forget it. You should take some time during this week of Easter to take each of the sayings of Jesus and think a little bit about each one of them and what Jesus said as he was there on the cross, fulfilling and finishing all that God the Father had sent him to do. Do you remember what Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry to a rabbi, a famous teacher named Nicodemus? He said, when he was also telling him you must be born again, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his own only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. So when we think about the cross, it's fulfilled and final, fulfilled and final. All of Scripture fulfilled, and all of the requirements for covering sin are finished. But there's one last thing. You know, the world is filled with sorrow and regret. Sorrow and regret. We woke up this morning to news, sorrow and regret. Some of us live our lives in sorrow and regret. You know, God never intended for people who know Jesus Christ to live their life in sorrow and regret. God never intended it. He intended when he brings us back to life and gives us new birth and we're born again for us to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, tenderheartedness. So the sorrow and regret that comes with sin are finished. Jesus said, verse 30, after everything else is done, after his garments have been divided, after they threw their lots, cast their lots for his undergarment, after he speaks and says, I thirst, and the sponge filled with stinking vinegar is put to his lips, he says, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Look, you know, there are a lot of people who say things like this. This is sorrow. I wish I hadn't gone there. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. Lots of sorrow in the world. The world filled with sorrow and regret. Sadness about what we've decided to do. Sadness in the way we've treated others. Sorrow and regret. It's finished in the cross. God doesn't intend for us who are his children to live with sorrow and regret. You know one of the most amazing things today? I was able this morning to get up and say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me of my sin. You know why I could do that? Because of the cross of Jesus finishing, covering my sin. Aren't you glad to be able to do that? We quote, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us for all unrighteousness for his name's sake. Listen to me, I'm just about done. When we're able to do that, it's because Jesus finished on the cross through his sacrifice, through his suffering, all of our sorrow and regret. If you're living in sorrow and regret, you need to come to Jesus. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will change you and make you a new person. person. So Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, it's recorded his prayer to God the Father. He says, I put verse 4 here, I glorified you on earth, listen, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. So the old hymn says it right. Lifted up was he to die. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high, say it with me. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Say it again. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is finished. And that's not the sermon, even though it's finished. Jesus died and fulfilled and finished the sacrifice for sin. He died and fulfilled and finished all the suffering for sin. You know what, followers of Jesus? We don't suffer for our sin. We confess it when we do. But we suffer now with Jesus. We suffer now with Jesus in this world when we're not appreciated, when we're hated, when we're ridiculed. We suffer with Jesus, not for our sin. And we suffer for Jesus, but we do it with joy and with the power of the Holy Spirit. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the parents who stood here and dedicated children for another generation. And we're reminded, Lord, in our church, we've talked about it, all the generations that meet here together. What a wonderful thing it is that we have a church representing so many different generations. But Lord, we also know our responsibility as a church to one another, from the youngest, these children, these babies, to our oldest. We have a responsibility to one another, but we also have a responsibility to our world and to the people around us, to tell them, to talk to them, to remind them that you paid the price. You finished and fulfilled all that the Heavenly Father had sent you to do. We honor you, we praise you, we glorify you, we follow you, Lord Jesus. So if you're here this morning in this crowd and you need in your life to say, look, Pastor Mike, I don't think I've ever really confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, we do something here that you may not be comfortable with, but it's what we do. Jesus called people to follow him in the crowds. They had to step forward. We believe that's important for you to publicly confess that you want to follow Jesus. Our pastors are going to be standing here. If you want more information, you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, or if you have recently confessed Jesus as Lord in your life and you need to come so that you might be baptized and come to be a part of this church, we want you to do that. If you're here, almost every week somebody talks to me about praying about coming to be a part of this church and join this church. They're already born again. They already know the Lord. Well, if you need to do that, this is the time for you to step forward. Talk to one of our pastors and say, look, I'm ready to join this church and be a part of this fellowship. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a great old song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. As we sing this hymn, if you need to come, even while I'm speaking, from the balcony or below, come on right now.